Hey everybody, welcome back to Ping. This is episode 147. I'm joined in the studio with Larry the Lightbulb Larson.
Yeah.
For another installment of Boys Without Foys.
The boys are back in town. It's
going to
be a good show, too.
I can only imagine.
I'm at the height of being sick, and you just got your eyes dilated. So
I did.
Is going to be...
And I've had the hiccups for the better part of an hour, so amazing.
So let's get started.
Let's do it. So before we get into the stories, let's look over the comments from the last episode. One of the longest comments I've ever seen was from J.C. Lee, and I'm actually not going to read it. It's basically the size of a novel. And then the comment...
It's incredible, and I thought that must be like a Charles Torrey account or something, because it's the kind of thing that Charles would write in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and then there was another one from Bob Vila. He sounds famous. It said, boring show, Z, for like 26 characters.
Nice. Well, it's nice to know that Bob Vila watches the show.
Yeah, it's very nice.
I'm a big fan of your show, too.
I think what Bob Vila meant was that he really just wanted a Boys Without Foys episode.
Yeah.
And that's what we're gonna bring
bring
to
deliver
him.
Today.
But then right below that there was a Jonathan Sampson, and he said, "I'm a little sad. I'm only now discovering the show after nearly 150 episodes." And then he goes on saying some more things.
So I got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, it's probably about 2 straight days of content.
Yeah.
So feel free just to get on some designer substances
start plugging away.
Just start going. That's about it. So, but you were in Europe, right? I haven't seen you in like months.
Yeah, I haven't seen you either.
Yeah.
So we're on different schedules. You're in China when I'm here, and
yeah. I haven't gone to China in a while, but I was down in L.A. and San Francisco. I was visiting Max. Remember Max?
Yeah, I remember Max.
Yeah, he had his birthday down there, so we celebrated his birthday.
Awesome. How's he doing? I heard he had a slight.
He's doing
dust
great.
Up with his motorcycle.
He is able to play Rock Band now, so he's all good.
Nice, good.
Absolutely. All right, let's get this show started. All right, as you know, whenever Laura's in the studio, I always try and humble brag about starting a business when I was 15, and now it looks like Microsoft is going to start investing in early stage startups by dropping 50 to 100 large on
nice.
Them. Now, nice. Larry, did you do anything in your past where you had like built something cool or anything like that? What did you do?
I did a startup that did a secured encrypted instant messenger company. It's called Ivecon.com.
Boring startup.
It's just encrypted messaging. It's not important.
Yeah, no one really cares about security or anything like that. That kind of explains a lot of the tinfoil hat things that you say all the time.
Yeah.
So
here and there.
That's kind of cool. So this is called the Bing Fund. That's what Microsoft is calling it. And there's just a ton of things that are that you get by having investment from Bing.
So not only what kinds of things?
Not only do you get the cash money.
That's good enough right
yep,
there.
That's pretty good. Now it isn't just like a donation to you.
It's
a loan to you that they can convert into equity in your company at a point that Microsoft chooses. But it's very similar to what you get out of something like a Y Combinator or a Techstars or a 500 Startups, where there's a period of time where you get mentorship from Microsoft. So it's
people from Microsoft that can come help you and give you advice and help get your startup going. Interesting, I mean, the resources at MSR and some of the other places. The interesting thing, they're also going to have some office space that they can use called the Bingcubator.
The Bingcubator. Yeah, nice. This is actually, I think it's in downtown Bellevue, isn't it? Where it's like a different section of the building, so you'll get your own little card that you can swipe in and you can go to your open office space. And what Microsoft is saying here is that, you know, we're going to give you this office space for a temporary period of time. It's not like Microsofties have access to your space or you have access to Microsoft space, but it's just like now you don't have to worry about finding some lease and trying to figure out where you can get more space or less space. And it's also going to be very close to the mentors that Microsoft can connect you with. So the designers, the developers, maybe people in research, depending on what the startup is.
Depend on needs.
Yeah.
And the types of companies that they're looking at, they specifically said no car washes. So
that's a shame, because there's actually a car wash startup in San Francisco, where you can just put in the geo coordinates of your car through your phone.
They're out.
And then like someone will come and wash your car during the day.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah, but apparently Microsoft not into car
washes.
That's out.
They're looking at disruptive companies doing disruptive technologies, which I think is great. That's the best type of startup in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is really interesting both from a startup angle as well as from the Microsoft angle. So any startups that are actually in the Seattle area. Sure, there's Techstars that's around here, but Y Combinator is obviously down in the Bay Area. But there's just been this huge push around entrepreneurship over the last few years, and I think it's really interesting to have something that's actually only a few blocks from where I live right now.
Yeah.
That can help invest in these companies and get the 4 to 8 months of mentorship. Now, some other things that the conspiracy theorists would worry about here is that you have to use Microsoft technologies and that you're going to be assimilated by the Borg. And at least one of those two things is unlikely.
We won't say which.
No. So Microsoft is providing discounts to the Windows Azure platform. So
and Azure, runs other things, too. So there's, other technologies besides Microsoft-specific technologies that you can run on Azure now.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to take advantage of that, you can. You don't necessarily need to. And obviously by being, surrounded by Microsoft mentors and being in a Microsoft building, I'm sure if your startup takes off, Microsoft will think that it's a very attractive opportunity to offer you a way to incorporate your startup into Microsoft, but you still maintain the ownership in your company. So one of the other nice things that comes with this is at the end of the 4 to 8 months of mentorship, if your startup is taking off, if you're starting to scale, and you're looking for additional funds, Microsoft also hopes to connect you with venture capital firms, some of the partners that we have, so that you can raise that additional $100,000, $500,000, $1 million of funding and just start making it digitally rain.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, so good job, Bing Fund.
Binkubator. All right, so we've got a Kinect story next, and this is the indie band Maccabees. I believe this happened in the UK.
Sure,
sounds
very
bunch
UK-ish.
It does, kind of. They used a bunch of Kinects hooked up to HD cameras to shoot a music video.
Yeah.
So apparently they've surrounded kind of like bullet time-ish, it sounds like.
Yeah, so I from how I understand it, there's a band that is sitting in the midst of like 10... Kinect devices that are all pointing at it, and it's capturing the full 3D motion of their band playing three different songs.
And then they fed that into Maya,
which is
a 3D rendering application. So we looked at the article, didn't see a video, but
no.
I'm looking very forward to seeing what this looks like.
Yeah, so it sounds like this band had approached a special director or an artist that had done some of these types of interactions in the past, and they're looking to have their video released on a very short timeline. So perhaps in the next week or two, we can do a callback in a future episode of Ping and show the final output. But it's really interesting to see the creative community embrace this technology as an art form, where they're not looking to actually produce things that have been produced before. Even though the Kinect with the depth sensor helps them do things on a much cheaper budget if you needed to have like 40 cameras and do like a Benjamin Button style like 3D rendering with like months of artist time. But they actually see this as a step in the right direction. The technology is not quite there with the Kinect to do the high definition rendering. But similar to how Instagram has like the filters that make you have a picture that looks like it's 40, 50 years old and gives you that vintage feel, they kind of feel like the Kinect, by doing it this way, is giving you like that naturally good quality but not super HD quality, and it has its own little personality to it.
Yeah, it's interesting. The other thing too is the producer they got to do this. It just turns out that he was a developer too. So increasingly, it seems like if you can code, that's a big benefit, no matter what industry you're in.
Absolutely.
I know journalists who code, and they have their own special niche. So,
yeah, where they just scrape other sites and just plop it out.
Or where they can just develop things on the fly, where typically journalists would have to go to an outside company or something like that. So same thing here. I mean, the guy was obviously able to connect 10 Kinects together, which Can't wait to see what that looks like.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. So if any of you Niners out there are doing anything interesting with code in a non-traditional software industry, maybe you can leave us a comment. And if it's interesting, maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode of Ping.
Definitely.
Next. All right, some more great news out of the Bing team, this time Bing Maps.
Yeah.
They apparently have they've flown planes all over the place, and they have released 215 terabytes of very high fidelity bird's eye imagery.
And this is in addition to the last tranche of imagery that they uploaded, which was what, 165?
165 terabytes of satellite imagery.
That's a lot of data.
That is a ton of data.
And I was looking this up. I got an interview with the Bing team after this, so yeah, I might ask them about that. But I was looking this up earlier. I don't know of any other dump of data on the internet that's that big. That seems like the biggest single push of data that I've ever heard about.
Yeah, this is quite large. And I read a long time ago, we used to have something called the Terra server or something like that, where they were doing like terabyte scale images. And now it's like we have like hundreds of times that in like one go.
It's amazing. And I remember Terra server. It was very impressive at the time, and it was grainy, black and white footage, and it was just...
And you have to, like, click and, like, wait for the page refresh, and now you can just, like, drag and, like, seamlessly transition across all
these. And
zoom
in and see your own backyard and see all the trees in your yard. It's amazing.
Yeah, now, you'll specifically be able to see those in Australia, Europe, New Zealand, and Tokyo. That's where the new bird's eye imagery has come from. It covers about 88,000 square miles, whereas the 165 terabytes of satellite imagery covered something like tens of millions of square kilometers.
Yeah, and so the previous one was satellite, and then the new push is bird's eye. So I think that means that, you know, they flew planes, and bird's eye typically has different angles that you can view things at.
Yeah, and I think it was at like the 45 degree angle the last time that I looked versus like the satellite imagery, which is the perfectly aerial. And I remember when this first came out, there was little bits of distortion here and there, but now when you actually look at it, it's very, very fluid as you're going over a scene. So this is some pretty fantastic work from the Bing Maps team.
All right, so what people might not know is right outside this door, right across the driveway from the building that we're in right now, is the MSNBC.com people.
Yeah?
And it's building 25.
Okay.
There's about, I guess, 300 employees there or something like that. And they put together MSNBC. They do some of the TodayShow.com stuff. And we just announced that we are parting ways. So
gone.
Yeah, MSNBC.com is now NBC News.
Yeah, I think it's NBCNews.com. So Microsoft had a 50% stake in MSNBC.com, and I think they recently sold that back to NBC for $300 million or something like that. Now, this has always been kind of confusing, but I found a really interesting comment online that describes this pretty well. So MSNBC's brand has always been two different companies. There's been MSNBC TV, and then there's been MSNBC.com. And the TV had a hosting agreement with MSNBC.com to host the web pages for the shows on the network and some podcasts for the video clips. But in 2005, NBC bought back the interest in the TV portion. And then they bought back like 32% of the 50% that Microsoft had. And then later in the last 2 years, I think, they bought the last 18%. I think we may have even covered that on an early episode of Ping. So the whole TV portion has already been taken back by NBC.
Yeah.
But the website portion still had a Microsoft interest until the last couple of weeks. So so now it looks like the URL will become NBCNews.com, and that will start sometime in 2013.
Yeah, and so the people over there in the next couple years, or I don't know, some point in time, they'll be moving out.
Does that mean we get a bigger studio?
We'll see.
Yeah, imagine having like 10 connects all around us that we can like just jam out in like a rock band music video.
So if you see Ping and in the background is a covered up MSNBC sign, you'll know that the move has been made.
Yeah, and you'll know the real reasons behind it because we're blowing up over here. Next. That about wraps it up for Boys Without Foys, Ping episode 147. Hopefully, at El Foy and I will be back in the studios next week. But who knows? We'll probably have some type of oof schedule, and then it'll be another Boys Without Foys,
we'll
or
see.
Ping Without the Mess, as we call it when I'm not on the show.
Yeah.
But if you would, you can follow me at Paul Mest or facebook.com/paul.mestemaker.
At Larry Law.
At Larry Law on Twitter. All right, that does it. Ha 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 ha!